Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, the Transformation Station, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how God wants you to be healed through his son, Jesus Christ. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our physical wholeness and our spiritual wholeness, God. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to dwell within us after you raised your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the knowledge and the power and the desire to operate the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that you place within us, God, so that we can produce signs, miracles, and wonders here on earth and draw all men, women, and children to you so that you can create your heavenly kingdom of many nations, God. Father, I thank you for you showing somebody to know tonight in order to be healed and physically delivered. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
just help me do that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough in healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how God wants you to be healed through his son, Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons we're going to be discussing this is because there is such a need for physical deliverance among those in the body of Christ. See, people often have an easier time understanding when they're in need of spiritual deliverance because nothing else is really available or even important before you get saved. But after you're saved, soul is intact after you receive the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Then God has also paid for physical wholeness, because before Jesus Christ died on the cross, before he was nailed to the cross, before he was laid in a stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights before God raised him from the dead, before all that happened, before God raised him from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, Jesus was beat three separate times with 39 lashes with a whip that had pieces of bone and metal at the end of the whip. And that bone and metal was designed to rip the flesh from his bones. And according to the scripture, the devil could do anything to him at that time except break his bones. So Jesus Christ had no broken bones, but everything else the devil could do to him, he did. And you better believe that he didn't hold back. And those three beatings that Jesus Christ took not only led him to die sooner than the others who were crucified with him at that time, but it paid for our physical wholeness. And we have to understand the price that was paid, and just imagine what that felt like to God, to watch his only begotten son ripped to shreds. That had to be a painful moment for God, to watch his only begotten son enduring such affliction and such a contradiction. Because, see, we know that people who sin should be punished. That just makes sense, right? But Jesus Christ was a man without sin. He was the Son of God. Everything he did was for us. And to see someone endure level of affliction that was for others is something that we have to really comprehend in our mind, so that we can understand the sheer magnitude of the cost that God paid so that you and I could be physically whole. So healing is a very important part of your deliverance. Healing is a very important part about God getting glory out of your life. One of the things that we hear and we see in the scripture, oftentimes when Jesus Christ is about to heal someone, is he will ask them, will you be made whole? In other words, do you desire to be made whole? Do you wish to be healed? And it sounds like a crazy question, but if you really think about it, there are those who are so accustomed to their affliction, because they've been afflicted for quite some time, that they have learned to cope, learned to accept pain, misery, disease, deformities, malfunction. And what God paid for was your healing. And he paid for it with his only begotten son being ripped to shreds in those three separate beatings. And we have to receive that healing. But in order to receive it, we have to desire it. But before you desire it, you have to know it's available. So I'm going to share some scriptures tonight that are going to show you that not only is it God's desire for you to be, but that's exactly why he had his only begotten son beat and torn to pieces. Everything that could happen to him did happen to him, except he did not have any broken bones, because Passover sacrifice, which was a a foreshadowing of the crucifixion of Christ. The Passover lamb could not have any blemishes or defects or broken bones. So Jesus Christ was not allowed to have any of his bones broken. But his flesh was ripped to shreds. And that was before he was nailed to the cross. That was for your physical healing. Now, when Jesus Christ is ministering healing to people and he says, will you be made whole? That question is very loaded. That question is very specific in its intent to identify the level of desire that an individual has to be healed, or does this individual simply want attention in the midst of their affliction? Do they simply want monetary resources to aid, to allow them to continue in their affliction, or do they really want to be delivered and walk into a newness of wholeness and healing and health and power? See, because when you're healed, you got to get to work. When you're whole, there are things you must do. But when you are handicapped, there are things that you can't do. But you know what I've observed in the world? Fascinating thing. I've observed some handicapped people, severely handicapped, who are outperforming all of their functions. And the use of all of their limbs, use of their mind. They're mobile. They're strong. Some of them are young. Not doing anything with everything they have. And yet, when you observe these individuals who we would say are afflicted, they are handicapped, many of them are outperforming people with all of their physical faculties. So the type of deliverance they need is more mental. Mental deliverance is deliverance too. That's part of being healed, right? And so now the question still remains, will you be made whole? Is it your desire to be made whole, or is it your desire to stay in a place of affliction that gets the attention that you desire without requiring additional work on your behalf to do more than you have to do after you're healed? See, when you're not healed, when you're healed, there's a lot you cannot do. There's a lot you will not be required to do. And some people are comfortable in that place. But God needs us to all be of use to the kingdom. We all are to be active in helping God create his heavenly kingdom of many nations. So it doesn't matter how long you've been afflicted. Tonight we're going to be studying later on about a man who was afflicted with a disease for 38 years before he was healed by Jesus Christ. But before we get into that, I want us to think about us right now for a minute. I want us to ponder some of the specific scriptures that speak to the need for our wholeness and the need for us to desire to be whole. God says for those of us who delight in his word, that he gives us the desires of our heart. What that means is what God desires for us is what we desire for us. And when we delight in God's word, meaning we study God's word, we read God's word, we meditate on God's word, and we feast on God's word. We care about what God says in his word because God said he magnified his word above his name. So now we have to get to this place where what we are doing is delighting in God's word so that then we desire what God desires. And when we desire what God desires, look at one of the things that God desires in his word. In 3 John chapter 2, 3 John, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So what we see here is a desire of God. In his word, he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, we know that your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, right? How your mind, will, and emotions prospers is by meditating on the word of God. See, when your mind is right, when your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are prospering, then you are prospering physically and you're in health. And he's saying, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." And we know the more than abundant life is first spiritual wholeness. You are saved. Jesus Christ is your master and Lord, and you are a child of God, and you can go before the throne of the Most High at any time because through the blood of Christ, right? So your spiritual wholeness is first, but then your mental wholeness is what is next, because the mental wholeness is what is developed as a result of studying God's word, meditating on the things of God, allowing God's word to cleanse you, because God's word is the only thing that can cleanse you. And he's doing a complete and perfect work from the inside out, starting with your mind, right? So even as thy soul prospereth, even as your mind, will, and emotions prospers, then you begin to see prosperity and you begin to see health. And prosperity, I'm not defining in monetary terms. I'm defining prosperity in spiritual first, mental next, emotional. And when we say your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, emotions are your response to God's word, your response to the circumstances and events in your life. And you can either be five senses circumstance oriented, where you are conformed to this world, or you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you replace what you think, what you believe, what you observe, with what you hear, with what the word of God says. And in doing so, you can be emotionally transformed. You can be at peace. Otherwise, be in shambles. You would be all over the place. You would be in fear, doubt, worry, panic, dread, right? And that's so common these days. It's common because we are not teaching the full, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit to intervene in those circumstances that go beyond our physical strengths, talents, and abilities. See, the power of the Holy Spirit is unlimited. When you dwell on the things of the Lord, God will give you peace when things are crazy as can be. And that's the devil's whole trick, is to knock you off balance, because he's not just coming at you from one direction at a time. He's coming at you from seven different directions at a time, normally. But when you abide in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll see that joker flee in seven different directions after you have withstood the test, after you trust God, after you do what God has assigned you to do. Because God's trying to get glory out of you. He's trying to demonstrate his goodness to you through his ability to keep you in even the most trying of circumstances. But if you're running all over the place panicking like there is no God, panicking like God's plan for you isn't perfect, panicking like God doesn't have an answer, then you're misrepresenting God. You're going to go through this lesson again, because pass the test, right? And the test is to learn how to patiently endure, to stay still, to allow the peace of God that passes understanding to keep you in a place where, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trial, you can give God thanks with grateful language. You can make your petitions made known to God, and you can do so confidently so that the peace of God can pass to you and dictate your response and allow you to get God much glory, because I'll tell you, God is able. And see, God says he wishes above all things that we may prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Now, this is important for us to understand. And when we delight in the word, God says he gives us the desires of our heart. Now, the way that that can be interpreted and is interpreted by many is that God is Santa Claus, and that's not what this is saying. What this is saying is God will give you what to desire, and when you desire what God desires, then that desire will come to pass. And if God's desire is that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, as your mind, will, and emotion prospers, then you will prosper. And see, it's not just spiritual wholeness, it's mental wholeness, then it's emotional wholeness, and then it's what we're talking about tonight, physical wholeness. Your physical well-being follows your spiritual wholeness, your mental wholeness, your emotional wholeness, because if you're not spiritually whole, your wholeness is out the door. And if you're not mentally whole, meditating on the word, your emotional wholeness is in shambles. And if you're not emotionally whole, your physical wholeness is out the door, because see, it's the stress that comes from mental affliction, spiritual affliction first, mental affliction, and then emotional affliction, and then it's manifested in your physical body. That's how illness occurs. Some of the worst illness is the mental illness that comes from not standing on the word of God and not believing the promises that God has laid forth and put forth for our physical wholeness, our mental wholeness, our emotional wholeness, our spiritual wholeness. See, when we don't delight in the word, it manifests in our life in physical ways. So look at what it says. Lastly, of all these things is what many people will call prosperity, and they've only got 20% of the answer. See, because first is spiritual wholeness, because all things are done decently in order. Then next is mental wholeness, because you're meditating on the word of God. Next is emotional wholeness, because now you're thinking and doing and responding the way the word says to respond, and not the way the circumstances and the world says to respond. So now you're getting glory for God. And then you are manifesting physical wholeness, because now you're doing things in order. You're acknowledging and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, but now you're actually using the power and you're studying God's word. And now you are meditating on that word, and that word is giving you peace. And now you're emotionally whole. And that emotional wholeness is manifesting in your physical well-being, because the ulcers that you had, you don't have. The migraines that you have, you don't have anymore. The high blood pressure that you had, you no longer have. And all of these other afflictions that come out of the air, and they really don't come out of the air. They come over the airways and through the media. They come through the TV. They come through the internet. They come through the magazines. They come through your friends and family. They come through your family physician. They come through all these diverse channels. Because, see, the devil has a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week campaign your peace, against your mental wholeness, against your emotional wholeness, which is intended to steal your physical wholeness that God paid for with the broken body of his son, Jesus Christ. See, when you don't believe that what God did for you is bigger than whatever is going on in your life, then you are being circumstance conditioned. You are being conformed to this world. You are not being transformed by renewing your mind. You're allowing the devil to dictate your response to everything. And your response becomes doubt, worry, fear. And that's bondage. That is exactly what the devil wants for you. Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more than abundantly. That more than abundant life is spiritual abundance, mental abundance, emotional abundance, physical abundance, and financial abundance. And financial abundance is only the last thing, because you could have all the money in the world. If you're not in your right mind, if you are emotionally off balance, if you are physically ill, all in the world won't do anything for that. And the money sure won't buy you into heaven. So spiritual wholeness is the most important thing. And there was a time when certain religions got very rich off of selling people the idea that they could buy their way into heaven. There are some today who do that same kind of thing, shaking down God's people, trying to make them feel guilty to get them to give them money. And that's evil as can be. And the devil is getting a lot of glory out of that, but God is going to deal with that nonsense. And so now what we have to do is, if we want to be whole, we have to walk into the promises of God. So look at what God says in response to these people trying to sell you the idea that if you give them enough money, God will forgive you. God has a better plan. Look at what he says in Psalm 103:3. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, right? See, God not only forgives your iniquities, he heals your diseases. See, sin produces sickness and illness and disease. And God says, you know what? I paid such an for your physical wholeness. I forgive you. I'm prepared to forgive you, but you have to ask. And not only do you have to ask, you got to forgive others. So before you ask God for health and healing and wholeness, you got to forgive. That's his requirement. Now, don't expect to be healed if you're not going to forgive. That's what it says. But look at the price that was paid here. Look at what it says. Isaiah 53:5. It says, but he, speaking of Christ, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Right? So through the stripes, through the beatings of Christ, we are healed. We have to stand on that word. We have to believe on that word. We have to trust in that word. So don't get distracted by the devil trying to pretend that he has more power than God, because he doesn't. See, there was a time when the devil had some power, and that was before Calvary. See, after God raised his son Jesus Christ from the stone tomb, from being dead for 3 days and three nights, God seated his son at his right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. So the power that the devil used to have before then was given to God's son Jesus Christ. And then God handed his power to Jesus Christ and said, go put all your enemies under your feet. And when you're done with that work and you hand over a complete and finished work to me, then I will receive all of that power back. And I will dwell with my people, and my people will dwell with me, and God will dwell with his heavenly kingdom of many nations. That's God's master plan. And Jesus Christ is making that happen. Look what it says in Matthew 9:35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, see, what's fascinating about this, if you look at this, is Jesus was mobile. All the cities and all the villages. And he taught in their synagogues. He taught in their places of learning. See, Jesus was reaching out to their spirit and their mind, right? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then he was healing every sickness and every disease. See, the sickness and the disease is connected to sin. Those are direct manifestations of sin. And people had to see that forgiveness was available. Wholeness was available. That restoration was available. And that's why Jesus Christ had to teach them. He had to teach them what the word said so that they would understand that they were no longer to be bound by sickness and disease. So he went among the people, and that's what he did, right? Look at what it says in Luke 6:19. It says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out of him virtue and healing. See, just his presence was healing to those who were seeking Christ, right? They just wanted to touch him because there was power there. And just like there was power there then, in Christ there's power now. Look at what it says in Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. We have to understand that just as it was then, virtue went out of him. See, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's God in Christ and Christ in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And right now, that same power that healed others when Christ was on earth is in each and every one of us and able to heal others. But you know what? There were times when we read of people praying for themselves. Can you believe what the word says, saying that it is God's desire for you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers? Is it possible for you to believe and enter into the healing that God would have for you? Look at what it says here in 1 Peter 2:24, and this is repeating what it says in another place. Look at what it says. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. See, it's by the stripes of Jesus Christ that we were healed, and he sins in his own body on a tree. When he was nailed to that cross, our sins were nailed there with him. And we, now that we are dead to sins through Christ, we should live unto righteousness. See, just like evil people practice evil and get better at it every day, a thief becomes a better thief every day, murderer becomes a better murderer every day, rapist becomes a better rapist every day. All of these evil people, they get more evil every day. Those of us who are in Christ, of the household of God, we are to be practicing faithfulness. We are to be practicing righteousness. And we are to be getting better every day. We are to be perfecting our craft. These wicked jokers out in the world are perfecting their craft. But many times we're so distracted looking at what they're doing that we're not paying attention to what we're supposed to be doing, right? And when we see how important it is for us to be healed so that we can be effective in the world, so that God's plan for us can come to fruition, because see, there's only one you. God designed you uniquely. You were designed in order to get glory for God, in order to win souls for God's heavenly kingdom of many nations. And when you see how important you are to God, you understand that you must be blessed. You must prosper. You must be in health. And as your soul prospers because you're reading God's word, because you're fellowshipping with like-minded believers, because you're speaking in tongues, because you're fasting, because you're praying, because you're delighting in God's word, your soul is prospering, and you are prospering and being in health. And you've come into agreement with God's desire to prosper and be in health by doing first things first. Matthew chapter 6. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and all the things the world is chasing after, God's just going to give you. That's how it is. God says he sets himself against the proud. You know, one of the indicators, one of the problems that the proud have is they work themselves to death for nothing. And it's fascinating because oftentimes what ends up killing them is the stress associated with whatever is leading them to whatever they're doing to chase whatever dream you think you're chasing, right? You're really just selling this, you're serving this idol we call mammon. And God says you can't serve mammon and him. You have to choose. And when you choose to serve God, what you're really choosing is life. Because God says, I set before you life and death. And he says, choose life. He admonishes us to choose life. But see, because it's love, because it's free will that God is seeking, a free will offering from you to choose him over mammon. Choose God over money. And when you do that, you're choosing life and peace and prosperity and health. And when you don't, you're choosing death and everything that comes with it. And it might be a slow death, but it's still death. And that's why we want for ourselves what God wants for us. But you know what? Just as it is in the world, you can't want more for somebody else than they want for themselves. We can't want more for our children than they want for ourselves. We might want our children to be astronauts, but our children have no desire to be astronauts. They want to be farmers. And we might see that there's a problem with them wanting to be a farmer because we've raised them to be astronauts. You know what? Not our life to live, it's their life. And that's how God to us. He says, you know what? I've set before you life and death, and you must choose. You must choose to make my son Jesus Christ your master and Lord. And if you choose that, then you can come in my house and I'll be your father. But if you choose to serve the devil and serve money, then you can go enter his house and you'll get what you get, right? So we have to learn to receive this payment that was given for us so that we could be made whole. Look what it says in Jeremiah 17:14. He says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Now this particular verse, it speaks of a mindset. Just like you can have a mindset of iniquity, a mindset of lawlessness. That's what that fancy word iniquity means. Mindset of lawlessness. You can have, and with that, have a mindset of hopelessness because you don't believe anything is real. Whatever you want in your mind, right? That's why God says he sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? Think about it. If you're humble, you're not stressed about too much because you don't really care about what other people think. You're free and available, just like God wants you to be, free and available for him. You don't care about what people think, what you look like, right? Give no thought to that nonsense. It's a distraction. It's a unique type of bondage. It's going to make you sick and stressed out. What he says here, this whole mindset, he says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. It's absolute. It is. This is believing here. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. See, when God is our praise and we delight in his word, we are saying to God what he's saying to us. God says it's his desire that we prosper and be in health. And now in this verse, this believer here is saying, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. That's the mindset we're to have. That's the mentality and position of our heart that we are to demonstrate in the earth, is heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be healed, for thou art my praise. See, when God is our praise, and we talk about praising God all the time, right? Think about this. If you're speaking in tongues, in your heavenly prayer language, whenever you can, your soul is prospering because you're at peace. Your spirit, your inner man is being built up and is drawing your soul closer instead of allowing your soul pulled away by the comforts of this world, the distractions of this life, the cares of this life. Think about it. It's the cares of this life that steal the joy of the word of God out of your life and cause you to become fruitless in your walk with God. God is looking for a fruitful walk. He's looking for you to go from bearing no fruit to some fruit, to more fruit, to exceedingly much. That's the more than abundant life, is you are bearing exceedingly much fruit in your life. That fruit, you know what it looks like? It looks like love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And you know what? When you are producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you are whole. You are whole spiritually. You are whole mentally, you're whole emotionally, you're whole financially, and the devil can't steal your joy, right? Look at what it says here in Jeremiah 30:17. In the first half of the verse, it says, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Now, see, this is a promise. We know this is a promise that was made in the Old Testament. But what we see here is that the restoration of health is available. He will heal thee of thy wounds. God's desire is for you to be healed. Now, the question is, will you be healed? Is your desire the same as God's desire, right? If you're delighting in the then God gives you the desires of your heart. And when you discover in God's word, as I've shared with you tonight, that God's desire is your desire. And if you want to be made whole, God wants you to be made whole. So now it's just the decision for you to walk into that health and wholeness and restoration that he already paid for with the stripes and beatings of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Been paid for already. Look at what it says here in Exodus 15:26. It says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, this is God speaking to his people in the Old Testament. And he is telling his people, if you follow my commandments, then what I have afflicted thee with, I will not do any of these things to you. Now, we know what happened was something other than what God desired here. And this is one of the things we have to be equally aware of. It is just like God's children had an incredible promise here and could have walked into the fullness of that promise. We know that God's people went chasing after other gods, and God's people were chasing, right? We want to get to the point where we practice faithfulness, we practice righteousness, we practice producing the fruit of the Spirit in our life by operating the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, by speaking in tongues at all times, by speaking in tongues and interpreting when we're in congregations of like-minded believers, by prophesying when we're in congregations of like-minded believers, by receiving words of knowledge that tell us information that we couldn't get by our five senses, by receiving words of wisdom by that tell us what to do with the supernatural knowledge that we receive, by giving us supernatural instruction of how to use what we know, by receiving discerning of spirits and the ability to identify what adversaries spiritually we're dealing with so that we can know whether we're to cast it out, to know how to respond through the word of wisdom to whatever demon we're dealing with, because whatever demon you're coming up against is less than the power of the Holy Spirit in you. So we're not afraid of that. And see, one of the things that's making people in the world sick is they're encountering, especially these days, spiritual forces. And they're encountering these spiritual forces without any way to counteract those forces because they're not saved. And if you're not saved and you're not sold out to the devil, then you have no spiritual power. You're just an empty shell waiting to be filled. And you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit by making Jesus Christ your Lord and Master, or you're going to get filled with the devil's spirit by selling your soul to the devil and blaspheming against the Holy Spirit and renouncing Christ. And if you do that, you'll have the power that resides in this world. But if you make Jesus Christ your master, the power that you're going to have is greater than any other power in the earth. And all other powers must bow to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And if you are a child of God, then you walk in that authority. So the doubt, worry, and fear that people have who encounter this spiritual demonic power in the world, if they're not saved, they're going to be afraid. And, or if they're not saved, they're going to be impressed. And if they're impressed, they'll sell their soul to the devil and they will walk in that same demonic themselves. That's one choice. But what I've also observed is people who encounter this demonic power and they are unsaved and they get very afraid because they begin to understand and realize that the spiritual realm is real. The spiritual dimension is real. And many afflictions that people have are first spiritual. They come from spiritual unrest and unease, disease, spiritually disease. And sometimes it's generational. Sometimes it is something that is common in their family. And other times it's something that happens as a or some other incident in their life. In any case, if you are impacted by spiritual demonic power and you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit to counteract that, you're going to be afraid or you're going to join forces. You've heard the saying, if you can't beat them, join them, right? That's what's going to happen. But you need to know before you experience this, that it's available for you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your master. Actually, I'm not going to tell you to read them. I'm just going to tell you what to do. Be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent. Turn away from serving sin. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your master and the Lord of your life. Believe in your heart that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Call on the name of God's son, Jesus Christ. Believe to speak in tongues and believe to prophesy, and you shall absolutely know that you are saved. There will be no doubt in your mind. And at that point, you have no need of being afraid, because the power of the Holy Spirit within you is greater than any other demonic force that you will ever encounter, any other power you'll ever encounter. And you will have the authority to rebuke all adversaries in the name of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to, you know, because a lot of times it's fear that's making people sick. It's fear that's causing disease. It's fear that's causing turmoil. It's fear that is trapping people in these cages that they construct for themselves, right? And see, God says he sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And people are like, I don't even know what grace is. Why do I want grace? Well, grace is all the great things that we get from God that we don't deserve. But grace is also God's enabling power to do. And see, that's one of the issues, is when you desire to be healed, it's so that you can report fertility, right? You can be all that God has called you to be for him and not have any misgivings about that. Look at what it says in Psalm 107:20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions, right? Look at what it says here in Proverbs 4:20-22. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful word. And we have to really get to the point where our faith grows. Look at where this gentleman's faith was in Matthew 8:8. The centurion, he had he had someone in his household that needed healing. And he asked Christ to heal them. And then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word, my servant shall be healed. His faith was that just Jesus Christ speaking the word would heal his servant without his servant being impacted. Look what it says in James 5:14-15. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. See, this is a promise from God. So don't allow your shame or guilt to keep you in a bondage of illness and sickness and disease. Because, see, the devil wants you to believe you deserve it. But God says, and that's just pride. See, you might think you're paying off some debt, but you're not. Because God already paid for all your sins. All you got to do is ask and believe. And so it says, if is any sick among you, if you're sick, let those who are sick call to the church and let them pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus Christ. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise those who are sick up. And if those who are sick have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. That's what the Word of God says in James chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. And I'm going to stop here with this first part in Mark chapter 17 to 18. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm going to stop there for tonight. I want you to ponder that for a minute. And then I'm going to get to this last part of the teaching that's going to speak of a specific situation where Jesus healed a man.
Thank you, Jesus, tonight for healing us, for touching us, for setting us free.
You walk with me
through
worship you tonight, Lord, as a healer. We say, I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. You're all I'll ever need, and I believe. Tonight, you're more than enough for me.
Welcome back to Spirit Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. We're going to get into part two of tonight's teaching, which is a specific example of where Jesus Christ healed a man at the Pool of Bethesda. And this is important because it's one thing to talk about what is available, but now we're going to see some of the dynamics that happen when someone has been in a situation where they have been afflicted for some time. Now, this gentleman at the pool, you're going to find that he was afflicted for a long period of time, and Jesus Christ speaks a promise to him, but he first asks him some very pointed questions that we oftentimes have to ask ourselves when we are considering whether we truly want deliverance, be made whole, or whether we want to ponder, whether we want to stay in our place of comfort. Look at what it says in John chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 15. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. What it says is, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man that was there who had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Then rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, who made me well, said to me, take up your bed and walk. Yeah, he who made me well, said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man that said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn among in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Now, you know what's fascinating about this? Is that is a couple of things. What's fascinating first is that there was this spiritual relief that was available to the people who were lame, paralyzed, who, and a multitude of sick people who were waiting for the water to be moved. And the way that it worked at this pool of Bethesda was that there was an angel that came at a certain time and stirred up the water. And then whoever stepped in first, you had to get to the water first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, that's a fascinating thing. It almost seems like a lottery for health, right? You've got to be in the right place, but then you have to get down to the water first, and you have to pay attention, and you have to look for the stirring of the water. You have to look for the angel. And what's fascinating here is that now, instead of waiting for an angel, Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. And see, many people are looking for equations. They're looking for certain special dispensations, right? But Christ, at the time, he was, wherever he was, there was healing going on because there was great power and virtue in him. But now the great power and virtue that was in Christ is now in us because it's Christ in us, right? Where Jesus Christ was, healing was available. Now, another important point here to point out is that this man had his infirmity for 38 years. It doesn't tell us specifically what it was, but we know that he couldn't walk, right? So he's probably among the... And it said when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And that's a fascinating question. It's an odd question to ask a sick person, and a sick person or a person who is in a place of illness might take offense at that. But the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man. He answers Jesus Christ with an excuse. But really, we would say that that's just a fact, right? He said, do you want to be made well? Instead of answering Jesus Christ's question, he says, sir, I have no man to put me in the water, to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Now, apparently the guy could move, but he couldn't move fast enough because this says, while he was coming, another stepped down before him, pushed him out of the way, and he couldn't get to the water first, right? So apparently he could make his way to the water, but he didn't have enough strength to get there in time. So Jesus said to him, you know what? Enough of these excuses. Enough of this angel coming down. Enough of all this for whatever you've been going through for the past 38 years. And I'm going to put forth to you tonight that whatever you've been going through for whatever period of time you've been going through, enough. Jesus, he saw this man, and he said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. See, there was a command. The command was to rise. And there was another command, to take up your bed. And there was another command, to walk. And the man had to believe to do all three of those things. And because the man's believing was engaged. And this man didn't even know who Jesus was at the time. And we know that because later on, when the Jews getting on this guy about being healed on the Sabbath and carrying his bed on the Sabbath, they're less concerned about him being healed and more concerned about him breaking the Sabbath by carrying his bed. That's how carnal Christianity is. That's how people who pretend to be God's children are. But look at what he says. He says, it says, immediately the man was made well. And when he was made well, when he rose, see, his faith is what made him well. When Jesus Christ said, do you want to be made well? When Jesus Christ gave him the promise and said, rise and walk, the man arose and immediately he was made well. That was his faith. See, faith is action. It's what you do. When you hear the promise of the word, you get up and do. And you walk into your healing. And he took up his bed. He did what Jesus Christ said. And he walked just as Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, you know what he could have did in pride? He could have stayed there. He could have continued to make excuses. He could have said, this is where all the sick people hang out, and I'm used to hanging out here. I've been here for 38 years, and I can be here for 38 more. He could have said that, you know. But he believed, and he obeyed. And see, obedience and humility is a part of your deliverance. Whatever it is you're resisting, whatever you're holding on to, it might be unforgiveness. Where you are so convinced about making a point about somebody having injured you or having handicapped you or having abused you or having neglected you that you want to put on an open display about how these others have harmed you for whatever reason. And instead of forgiving, you want to remain sick. You know what? You can obey Jesus Christ and humble yourself and let God get glory from you being delivered, and you can walk into God's promise of deliverance for your life or not. See, if you decide to be healed, then you will rise, you will take up your bed, you will walk, you will believe, you will obey, you will do, and you're not going to care about what people think. Look, these people, the haters, they said, and that was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry. They're not concerned about him being healed. They're concerned about him breaking their Sabbath, messing up their little plans and their agenda, right? He answered them, who made me well, said to me, take up your bed and walk. So he's saying, hey, it wasn't my fault. The guy who made me well told me to take up my bed and walk, and I'm just doing what he told me to do. Then they asked him, who is the man that said to you, take up your bed and walk? What they're really concerned about is who thinks he's greater than the Sabbath. Well, the one who heals did. Look what it says. The one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. So Jesus snuck away into the multitude. That's a fascinating thing. But after these guys interrogated the man about who told him to take up his bed and walk on the Sabbath, break the Sabbath, then Jesus found the man in the temple who he healed and said to him, see, you've been made well, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. After Jesus Christ said that, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him see. God is trying to get glory out of your deliverance. You have to want to be healed. And when you're healed and you tell those who are more concerned about their rules, about what they think you deserve, about what they think you're worthy of, whether you're worthy of deliverance, whether you're worthy to be used by God, you know what? You're going to get great glory for God, by being able to go back to them and say, it's Jesus who made me well. It's Jesus who healed me. It's Jesus who delivered me. It's Jesus who removed the stony places from my heart and allowed me to forgive and walk into healing and wholeness. Healing and wholeness. I want to encourage each and every one of you tonight to walk into healing and wholeness, knowing that it's God's will for you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. Father, I thank you for you touching someone. I thank you for you strengthening them, God. I thank you for you encouraging them to encourage someone else, God. Father, I thank you for you giving them a desire to comfort someone else as the Holy Spirit comforts them. Father, I thank you for you allowing them to be restored after they have completed your work and walked into the fullness of your promises by humbling themselves to you and your word. And I thank you for you giving them a desire to delight in your word so that you can truly give them the desires of their heart. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network, the Transformation Station, Tuesday night teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I know what
I know.